Delilah.
Hello, my friend, and welcome back to another edition of Love Someone, my podcast. I have had such a great time this year doing these podcasts. I love talking to people on the air, but when you hear a call on my radio show, it's usually only 2 or 3 minutes long. And sometimes people have a lot more to share than we can cram into 2 or 3 minutes. And so we decided to do these podcasts so that I could talk to people in depth about things that matter. Now, there are some podcasts that are political in nature, some all about sports, some about cars. There's some really amazing podcasts out there. I mean, anything you are interested in, you can find a podcast about. But what we focus on is talking to real people about ways to make a real impact in the world. A lot of times we wait for someone else to fix it. We wait for the county to fix it, or the state to fix it, or the government to fix it, or the church to fix it. We wait for other people to step in and fix huge problems. Climate change, pollution, animals dying off and becoming extinct, human trafficking, something we're going to talk about today. We're waiting for somebody to fix these things. But in reality, we have to be the change that we want to see in the world. We have to be willing to step outside of our comfort zone and make a difference. Make a difference in our corner of the world. Today in the studio with me is a woman who has been doing that for decades. It's hard to believe, but Natasha Bedingfield has been singing and speaking out against human trafficking for a couple of decades now, which is really weird because she's so young and so beautiful and so, so sassy. If you met her, if you were to meet her, you would think she was probably 20, 21 years old. But she's been around the block 3 times, maybe 4. And today she's going to spend some time talking about her new music, talking about her baby, talking about her family, talking about her brother, who is a dear, dear friend, Daniel Bedingfield, and talking about human trafficking. It's a bigger problem than most people know. It's one of those dirty little secrets we don't want to talk about. When people talk about slavery, they talk about slavery in the past tense. But did you know there are more people enslaved today than at any other time in the history of our world? Natasha is going to shed a little light on that. But before we get started in this wonderful conversation, I want to acknowledge the folks at the Home Depot. They make this podcast possible. I appreciate the Home Depot, not just as an advocate, but as a devoted customer who loves shopping there. They have everything I need, everything you need to make your home what you want it to be. If you've got company coming to visit next month for Thanksgiving, now's the time to get your home ready. If that includes new carpeting, the Home Depot has what you need. You'd be amazed at how many choices the Home Depot has. And once you choose the style that's right for a room or two or more in your home, you can rely on them as your no-hassle carpet installer. And there's free installation if you spend $499 or more before November 6th. I've seen them do great work, moving furniture, carpeting stairs. They do it all. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. With me in the studio is somebody that I have known from a distance for probably 20 years, 18 years.
Wow.
I have seen pictures of you at a hospital bedside when you were nurturing somebody back to health.
Wow.
But this is the first time I've met you face to face.
That's amazing. Because you're really great friends with my brother. Yeah, and he loves you.
I mean, your brother like my own child.
Yeah.
I truly do.
I feel like he feels that the same with you.
When I met him, there was such an instant connection. By the way, for those of you for those of you listening to this broadcast, I'm talking with Natasha Bedingfield.
Hi.
Who's gorgeous.
Thank you.
You are just naturally beautiful. And we're going to talk about your new music.
Yes.
We're going to talk about your old music. We're going to talk Perfect. About your new baby.
Yeah.
We're probably going to talk about your mom and her ministry and Love what it. You do with stopping child trafficking and sex trafficking. We're going to talk about all of that.
Great. And my brother, who
But we're
going to
lead with your brother.
Like, is also a singer, actually had two hits before I did. Had around the world.
Two amazing yeah. hits and amazing yeah. world tour. Daniel Bedingfield, who is one of the most talented human beings I have ever met.
Absolutely. I mean, when you see him on stage, he makes so much sense because on stage, he's just, he is on off stage. He's a larger than life character.
He is. He's, yeah. but did you ever see Mozart Amadeus?
Yes.
When
yes.
they were saying, just take, yeah. it's too busy. Take some of those notes out. He's like, yeah. I can't take no. notes out of a song that is created. I can't. Yeah. I can't be less.
Yes.
I am.
That's right.
The song is what it is.
That's right.
I think
people
Daniel
love
is
to
like
contain
that.
People. I don't yes. know why people love to categorize and to contain,
to label, to contain.
Yeah, and it's impossible to do that with him.
It's impossible
really
to do it
that.
With anyone, but especially yeah. with Daniel.
Exactly. And he was my older brother. That's why I grew up with him, and I grew up just like learning everything off him. He's very generous, and he taught me how to sing and. He was a star from the moment he was born.
And I knew you were going yeah. to be very famous, Natasha, because
Did you?
When I met Daniel, he was a teenager.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
He was not yet 20.
Yeah. Wow.
And you were a kid.
Yeah.
And he was saying, he said to me, if you think I'm talented, wait until you hear my little sister.
Isn't that, that's amazing.
And I'm like, yeah, but you're wow. in the spotlight right now. He goes, I know, but wow. wait until you hear my little sister.
That's amazing. That's so beautiful to hear that because he like taught me everything I know and he was hard on me sometimes. Like he had
Do
high
again.
Standards
yeah.
for me, but that's why, because he saw me as he knew what I was capable of, I think.
And was it hard?
He's like a dad to me.
Well, I don't know if he's like
he's
a dad.
He's 2 years
to anybody,
older than me.
But he is a force to yeah. be reckoned with for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww,
he's
lovely.
Genius.
Yeah.
And I knew that I was going to love you because just all the lovely things he said, but he shared pictures of you with me for years.
That's
and
amazing.
He shared your mom with me.
That's so cool.
Isn't that so,
so he
cool?
He gave you my mom's number.
He did.
Yeah.
Daniel was very, kind. Mm. And when he saw the energy level of my two young children, they were like, you know, yeah. 5 and 6 or something ridiculous, younger than that. They were, you know, in diapers or something when we first met. And he came to the house. Mm. I have the house where my studio is now.
Yeah.
And I had a trampoline in the yard. And he played on that trampoline for hours with my children.
That's great.
Yeah. And he saw that my boys had some unique character traits.
Mm.
He said, please call my mother.
Because she's such an expert.
Please call my mother. Yeah. She is such a good counselor and she's such an expert. And
yeah.
she helped me to navigate and to avoid letting the doctors put them on medicine. All of his young life, I never once allowed the doctors.
You had a feeling, you had a sense.
To put him, because of in part of your mom, what your mom taught me. And she sent me literature and had me read books and learn about, the side effects of the medication to fix ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm ADHD. I don't want them fixed. It's what allows me to juggle my life and live my life. So, but your mother is lovely.
Thanks. I think so too.
Yeah. And now you're a mom.
I'm a mom. I waited a while. Like I had like full career. I was married for 10 years and then I just had a baby and it's amazing. I don't know why I was waiting so long.
So let me ask you this, Natasha Bedingfield, who's had how many hits and great success and you're beautiful. How much more full is your heart, your life, your soul since becoming a mama?
I mean, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And I also feel so much more in touch with people in general because I know now what people go through and what it takes. And my little son is such a joy. So
what's his name?
His name's Solomon.
Yeah. And he's almost 2?
Yeah, he's going to be 2 in 3 months. And I mean, man, I can't imagine. Like, that's the hard thing. Like, when you open your heart to love, is that you can lose, something can happen. Like, you know, you can lie awake thinking of the terrible things that can happen to your child. You don't want to focus on that stuff, of course. But, like, I feel like I never really, I didn't want to love somebody that much. Isn't it terrible? Like, I kept my heart a bit closed because I didn't want to.
It's not
like,
terrible. It's true.
You know.
Why would we purposefully set ourselves up to be crushed like that?
Yeah, but that's love. And the thing is, you're not living life if you close down. And I guess I was living a bit closed down. So for me, now that I've opened up to having this little being in my life who I can't control, I can't predict, I can just love and he'll love me. But I feel like there's a new flow in my life. It's really interesting. Like, there's just this energy.
So tell me how that translates in your music, because now you've got a new song out.
Yeah, so I signed a record deal. I got offered a deal. I left my label, and then I got offered this amazing indie deal by Linda Perry, and we wrote
Who's
an album
amazing.
Together. She's incredible, and the album just came together in such a
talk about genius.
It just felt like, yes, such a genius too, and the flow was just not try hard. And as you hear the album, you can hear it's not. It just isn't try hard. And a lot of pop music, you can get in that zone where you start being safe, where you're like, oh, this is a guaranteed hit. Like, no one can guarantee a hit, but you start kind of writing a bit like that with these kind of executive label people, like saying what people want.
Have you seen the video? You know, it was on YouTube. It's gone around social media. Mm-hmm. Where two guys play every song that's been a hit in the last 5 years.
Yeah. And they all sound like the same chords.
With the exact same two chords. And
exactly.
I'm like, whoa, you don't even realize how formulaic.
So formulaic, yeah.
Everything has become. Yeah.
And it's a staying in a safe zone. And I mean, that's just, you're not growing if you kind of do that. So
tell me about Roll With Me. Tell me about some of the songs.
Okay, so Roll With Me, what's fun about this album is it is really fun. But I also got to talk about some of the stuff that really matters to me.
Example.
So there's a song called Hey Papa, which says, hey, Papa, what's the news? What's going on in the world? There's some crazy stuff. Like every time I wake up in the morning, I look at my phone and then I'm like, oh, what bad news am I going to see as well? Like, I'm almost afraid to look at my phone.
You know how you unfollow people that are negative? I have have unfollowed a lot of news feeds that used to come into my phone because I would wake up and then I would be instantly terrified or in a negative kind of, not that I don't want to be aware of what's going on, but I can't be inundated every day with negativity.
Yeah. And the first line of the song says, kids and guns starting out so young, we normalize and empathize and then hold our hands over our eyes. So like there's been so many gun shootings this year. When you hear about so many, it almost desensitizes you and you can end up like burying your head under the blankets and just not even doing anything about it. And so it's great because I never really talked about stuff like that in my last albums. They were all just about personal, like relationships and stuff and fun things.
So now that you've been married 10 years.
Yeah. And now I've had a kid and now I care about things more, but I feel like I've got a microphone in front of my face and I have the freedom because I'm on an indie label too. And I'm working with someone who also cares about that kind of stuff too. So I feel... that's quite a release for me because I've definitely had that thing that a lot of women feel. Like, I mustn't be that angry woman or I mustn't be like, I mustn't rock the boat. So yeah, it's great.
So let's rock a few boats.
Yeah.
Let's rock a few boats and talk about another thing I know you're passionate about. Trafficking, human trafficking.
Yes.
That rocks boats.
Yeah. You know why? Because we love to celebrate that we're a free society. We love to, you know, England and America, that we're democracies and that we abolished slavery. But the problem is that a lot of the companies that we buy all our products from are not accountable and they don't check. And they purposely stay ignorant about the fact that they use a lot of slave labor to make all of their products. And yeah.
Nobody wants to believe that.
No, but this is shocking. There's more slavery today than there ever was.
When
isn't that crazy? And we celebrate anti-slavery.
I go to... West Africa at least twice, sometimes three times a year. Mm. And I go to the slave castles where humans were exported as chattel, 60 million
Wow.
over the course of 300 years. And I see people weeping. I see people crying. I see people going back to the roots and trying to wrap their head around it. And I stand there screaming, but it's going on today.
Right. That's right.
There are more slaves today. There are more people being trafficked today than ever in the history of our world. Mm-hmm.
And then we celebrate things like 4th of July, Independence Day, and we talk about the amazing Constitution, and we talk about all these freedoms that we have.
While we neglect to pay attention to the fact that thousands of children go missing every year.
That's right.
Tens of thousands of human beings are trafficked, not just across state lines, but country to country. There's a whole network. Yeah. And when you go up and down the corridors on either coast, there's people every day being trafficked through the truck driving stops.
That's right.
You know, they're enslaved, and we close our eyes to
it. And because it's in a different country. And, you know,
but it's not.
But it's not. You're right. It's not. You're right. It's right here, too.
It's
but
right
because
here.
Because people can't see it. Like, people like to focus on the nice and fluffy. And, like, I'll tell you a funny example. My mum, because she found out about that a lot of chocolate companies use slave labor to make the chocolate. And when you talk to them, they're like, oh, we can't really tell. You know, they purposely don't know about it.
We outsource our chocolate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, we just buy it in bulk. We don't own the plantations.
Exactly.
Where...
So she told us, she did a press release and said that our family are all fasting chocolate. Well, she didn't check with us, and chocolate happens to be my favorite food. and I was like, sorry, Mom, I'm not fasting chocolate. Pick another food.
There are chocolates, though, you can find.
There are fair trade chocolates.
Yeah, fair trade chocolates that are delicious, especially dark chocolate.
But this is why it's so hard. It's because we love our mobile phones.
We don't want to know that our soccer balls that our kids are kicking around were sewn by 4-year-olds.
Exactly.
We don't want to know that the jeans that you're wearing are sewn by men and women imprisoned for not violent crimes.
Yeah.
And they're making 25 cents an hour to make the jeans that you're wearing. We don't want to think about that.
No,
I don't want to think about
it right now. Preach it.
I truly don't want to think about it.
No, I know.
I don't. Yeah. But it's true.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a horrific, pervasive problem, and nobody wants to talk about it. But you and your mom and your brother.
Yeah, and my brother. And there's a company that I've been
So the name of the ministry that...
Well, my mom's ministry is called... It's a charity called Global Angels, but she works very closely with Stop the Traffic. And then there's another one, a guy called Justin Dillon, and his charity is called Freedom, FRDM, Freedom with no vowels. And what he does is he works on talking with companies to keep them accountable, because companies have realized, oh my gosh, we are going to be in trouble when people figure it out.
When people figure out.
Yeah. And it's just like the organic food. Like, if there's enough demand for something, then suddenly you see a whole aisle full of organic food. And so his thinking is, look, if companies could know, like, that this is important to people, that's where our power is, you know, because these companies are just doing what they think people will accept. I talked to my friend who runs the charity Freedom that I mentioned, and he said that, like, we did a documentary together called Call and Response, and this is about 10 years ago, and we were talking about this issue because nobody knew about it 10 years ago. There's definitely a lot more awareness. But what he said is that in England and in Australia, there was a law passed that makes companies have to be responsible for what, at least on with this level, with, you know, with companies, at least they have to be responsible for the people who work for them into making their products.
So that they're paid a fair wage?
Yes. So it's an act that was passed that makes it legal that they have to. So that's just good news, because it means that we are making progress and that pressure from the public does actually work. And so that's the kind of stuff that we need to see happen in America. And I think that one of the things that people are struggling so hard. Everyone listening here, we all have our own issues that we're dealing with. Not to mention, let's talk about all the stuff that's happening in other people's lives, but also our own lives. I think it's sometimes we just get overwhelmed and people feel apathetic, like my voice doesn't count. So something that's important to me is that my music would encourage people to feel like their voice counts, and that we all need to get involved, and we are in a democracy, and basically people love to take people's power away and to make you feel like you're just nothing and that you just don't have a voice. But we do have a voice. And so the more active we get, the more change can happen.
Amen. Amen to that. Mm-hmm. So we're bouncing around here, but let's get back to Roll With Me.
I love it. Thank you. Let's bring it back to my album.
Yeah, bring it back to your album because I want to learn more. I want to hear more about some of the singles that we're going to be hearing from there.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Roll With Me. How did it get its name? I wrote a song called Roller Skate with Linda Perry, and it is about just being in London and growing up and roller skating. We talk about all these, big world life-changing things that are terrible, but it is just great to have music that makes you feel good. And one of the things that I loved being in London was roller skating, growing up with my brother, who we've talked about, Daniel, and he would be roller skating and I'd be trying to catch up with him. And it's great
you
for kids to find things.
There is no way to catch up with your brother.
No, he's larger than life. I could never catch up with him.
No, not on roller skates unless you had roller skates that had like a jet pack on the side that you could.
Yeah, and he might say that I'm amazing. That I'm better than him, but it's not true. He's actually the most talented person I've ever met.
Have you seen those jet ski things? Those jet packs that you can ride above water on?
Yes. Funny enough, my sister wrote. There's a whole commercial with those in them that she wrote the theme tune to.
Really?
She's also a songwriter. My sister is also, I have to say, also the best songwriter and singer in the world. So wait until you hear
that's
her.
That's what Daniel said about you. Now your sister.
Nicola. Yeah. Nicola Rochelle.
Just like your folks just have like major talent DNA.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't know what was going on. But my brother also, I have a brother and a sister who are both incredible singers. But I think that kids need creative stuff. If kids have access to learning how to do like music, if kids are brought up around music, then I think that all kids are musical. Everyone is.
No. After raising as many kids as I've raised, I can tell you that is not
musical?
True.
No?
Oh, yeah. Several of my children were very, very musical, and some are theatrical and some have the dance gene and can dance like rhythm. And some aren't. And there's a verse that says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Mm. And most people take that to mean train up a child in a church or in a particular religion. Mm. And I agree with that. I think that you need to give your children a firm foundation.
Or to have morals. Kindness.
Kindness and morals and a moral compass and saying, but I also think it means train up a child in the way they should go. They individual. Mm. I believe every child has gifts that are unique to them in different measures and different combinations. And one of my most important jobs as a parent is to find what that is and then train them up in it. Mm. So that when they are old, they will be true to who they were meant to be. And some parents, say you're going to be a lawyer or to be a doctor. Mm. But if you see in your son a passion for music, I know you're going to sign him up for drum lessons or guitar lessons or piano lessons. Or if you see...
You're right. A lot of people try and actually like their kids, they try and give them the opportunities they never had. It's like, well... they never got to go to college. So they're like, you will go to college or you are going to be a football player or you. Yeah. No,
yeah,
I think
no.
That's important not to do that.
But if you see that your son loves to kick a soccer ball around.
Exactly. Yeah.
Then it's your responsibility to make sure.
Yeah.
That they're fair trade soccer balls.
I love
and
it.
Then he gets play on
around.
A field
yes.
And learns yes. how to kick a soccer ball. So,
that's right.
So speaking of kick it, tell me about
kick it.
Because
I love how
we've
you
been
around.
Like that. We've been kicking it with you before any other radio station. I might add.
That is true. And kick it. That's the single. It's like not even a typical pop song. It's definitely like, but there's something about it that it's just got this energy and it's talking about making a relationship last. How do you do it? You do whatever
it takes.
How do
you do it? You've done it
for
10 years.
Well, kick it has a few meanings. We actually Googled kick it because it's kind of a cool word.
Yeah.
And it means hanging out.
Exactly.
But it also means like letting go of stuff. Also
kick
just
it to the curb.
Literally kicking. Yeah, exactly. Or kicking a football. But like my husband, he was great. He said, actually, when you make a relationship last, you have to do the things that are fun that you used to do. You have to hang out with each other, put the time in.
Fall in love again, date again.
Falling in love, especially when you have kids.
So now that you have a toddler, is it hard to date your husband?
It really is. There's a book called, what's it called? And Baby Makes Three, which is actually kind of awesome. And it talks about how like you have to keep your relationship strong as well, because that's important for your kid. It's so sweet. Oh my gosh. Like I was away from my husband for a week with my son. He was touring with me in Germany. And when we got back all together, like we're lying in bed, he's lying in between us. And he was like, Mama, Dada, Mama. Like he was like, he was so excited. He's only got a few words, but he was so excited about the fact that we were all together.
All together. Yeah. And he was relishing that.
Yeah.
Natasha, hold that thought as we hear from one of the sponsors that makes this podcast possible. Welcome back to Love Someone with Delilah. Today, we're talking with Natasha Bedingfield, and we continue our conversation now. So when you had your child, did you suddenly understand your mom a lot more?
I did. I felt so much grace and so much gratefulness, and also just thought about single mothers and how like just incredible women are and how incredible bodies are. And I felt more love for my body and acceptance. And
I called my mom when my son was about a week old.
Did you?
And I said, thank you. She said, for what? I said, for everything.
Yeah.
I had no idea how much you loved me until now.
And I also like say, I just say thank you to my son. Like I love the idea that he chose me, maybe somehow, like he like chose me as his mom, or God chose me as his mom. But I,
God loved the whole world over.
Yeah. And I just want to have gratitude, even if I feel anxiety or like that I might mess up as a mom or whatever. I just try and be grateful. Like, thank you for each moment. And
you will mess up.
I will. I know.
You're human.
Well, one of the songs actually on the album is called King of the World. And it's actually saying that around my son, I feel like I'm king of the world. Like, I feel like he sees me right now in that infant stage. He sees me as like.
Enjoy it. Because when they hit 15, 14, 15 years old, all of a sudden you become a big dummy head.
I know. And I've got friends who have teenagers. So I like hear all those stories and I'm somebody told me like, you know, there's so much cynical stuff, but like basically your job as a parent, you're just letting them down slowly.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
What to expect in life. You know?
You've got all this Natasha Bedingfield. You've got all these videos. You've got all this history. You've filled stadiums. Your brother's filled stadiums. I'm sure your sister's filling stadiums. You've got thousands of followers, I'm sure, on social media. But when your kid hits 14 or 15, you will not be cool.
I know.
It's crazy.
Nope. That's just
and you'll get mom,
and
it becomes like a three syllable word, mom,
and you're not allowed to kiss them and hug them
mom.
Anymore.
I'm like, what? Yesterday I was your superhero, king of the world.
That's why, like, I'm like, I say to my husband, I'm like, give your mom a cuddle right now, like, tell her something nice.
Natasha Bedingfield, thank you for spending this time here in the studio with me. I know that your music is available everywhere. I am glad you're back in the studio. I'm glad you're recording again. But I'm really, really glad that God is blessing you and your husband and your baby and your life. Thank you for coming and spending time here on Love Someone with Delilah.